coming to the tele check-in. So this is a very important feature nowadays. So what is the tele check-in? First of all, what is the check-in? Check-in means nothing but when you go to the airport, you have to show the credentials like your identification and e-ticket, and by checking that, they will assign your seat and they will give, the counter person will give you back with the boarding pass and they will take your luggage. So this procedure is called check-in formality. Normally for domestic, it should be done 75 minutes prior, and international it should be done 2 hours 30 minutes prior. So that is called check-in procedure. But nowadays most of the airlines in domestic segment, they have started a web check-in or tele check-in facility. That's in web check-in, you can select your seat, meal request online. You can actually see which seat is vacant. You can book. The e-boarding pass is created. You can take the printout and directly at the airport you can walk in. So that is called e-boarding pass, will be sent in your email address. So all these things, what is the use of this thing? Your corporate traveler will save the long queues at the airport. He will save the time. So same way, new mobile applications also allow you to book the ticket, to check the up-to-date flight status, available the special offers, etc. So this safe and secure travel tool helps you to plan and stay connected anytime, anywhere. So various mobile applications are developed for the sake of corporate travelers. Not only mobile applications, there are very useful websites has been developed. That is called the web travel portal, such as Make My Trip, Clear Trip, Yatra.com, etc. So you can have a well n number of travel services sitting at your workstation. You don't have to run after the travel agent for making the arrangement. So we can enjoy seamless check-in on the go with our new self check-in services for the mobile. You can check in using mobile device on the website or mobile app. So nowadays you can use, instead of tele check-in, you can do the check-in with the website option or the through mobile application option also. So that is called self check-in options. So what are the advantages of tele check-in? First, the passenger is able to save his time for check-in process. Then he gets assured a seat of his preference, because many business travelers, they have particular seat requests. Mostly they prefer a aisle seat. Aisle seat means the corner seat. Why? Because they can easily go to the washroom without disturbing the others. They can easily come out of the plane. So that is why most of them, they prefer aisle seat instead of window. So every corporate traveler has his own thinking. So he can actually see in the tele checking or in the web checking the layout of the plane, whether it is 3-3 seating or whether it is 3-4-3 seating, and he can select the available seat. Check-in facility is also available at airline offices other than airport. So sometimes he can go avail this type of facility in the city office also. He can go there before, in last 24 hours of the departure, go there, select the seat and get a physical boarding pass. The advantage of this facility is that busy executives can avoid long queues at the crowded airport counters. So if you see the percentage, nowadays more and more corporates are go for tele check-in option only. So once I want to share the experience why and the more and more corporates are going for tele check-in. So that is why it is essential nowadays to do book your seat through either tele check-in or web check-in option. Why? Because once time when I traveled Mumbai to Bangalore, I have not done the tele check-in or web check-in, and when I reached the airport, I asked a particular seat. So that time that counter person told, I requested them the window seat. So he said all the windows seats are booked by web checking and tele checking option. So that proves that it is increasing nowadays. So it's better if you are traveling, you should do tele check-in or web check-in. Then next is point-to-point booking refers to that mode of the booking where the ticket is issued to a destination which is not connected by a direct flight from a place of departure. So by this, using this ticket, the passenger is entitled to changing a flight or any number of flights en route to reach the destination. Let's see, one business passenger wants to meet his business supplier situated in Brazil. So as of now, and his office, head office is based in Mumbai, he wants to travel Mumbai to Brazil. He has to do business meeting there for 4 days and to come back. So the present, there is no direct flight available which goes Mumbai to Brazil direct. There is no airlines situated in Mumbai which take that passenger Mumbai to Brazil direct. So he has to go via option only. So he can either go via Dubai, he can take Emirates airline, or he can go via Europe. He can go via Frankfurt to Rio de Janeiro, that is situated in Brazil. But in this case, depending on the waiting time in between, he will make the preference. He can go even by British Airways, but nowadays most of those countries in Europe, they have very strict visa regulations. Nowadays for UK, in this case, if you want to go Brazil via UK, just a halt of 5 hours in London, they will ask you for a visitor's visa or transfer visa. So again, your one working day will lost to getting that visitor visa or what. So as of now, if you are traveling via Dubai and you are not leaving the airport, there is no visa required. You can avail this facility. So you can opt for the Emirates option, going to Mumbai, Dubai, Dubai to Rio de Janeiro. So that is called an indirect flight because there is no direct flight is available. So in this case, you should give the passenger option of selecting very minimum connecting time. As I said, the minimum or ideal connecting time between two flights may be 2 hours to 5 hours is ideal. It cannot be too long or cannot be too less. So in companies, many foreigner guests arrive from time to time. So it is necessary to look after them very meticulously and carefully. We must know their itinerary fully and well and accurately. So the following factors have to be very carefully administered. So first is airport pickup. In this, I already given the example. You should know in which terminal the flight is arriving. You should inform the passenger, okay, the person so and so will be coming to receive you. He should hold a placard with your company's name or logo and the passenger's name at the airport, so he will identify. Then you should have their detail of passport and visas, because sometimes, because they are foreign nationals and let's say they are coming from Netherlands, Holland to India, and you want to have book their rooms for 2 nights in Mumbai. So in this case, as per the law, the local hotels, they need their passport copies. So in that case, you should have all this information. Then their hotel booking, then their what type of food requests or what type of things they will be requiring. So most of the foreigners, they require a continental breakfast. They will not prefer Indian. Yes, sometimes they prefer Indian also, but every day they will not prefer Indian. So again, another thing, they don't like a very spicy food because they feel Indian food is quite spicy with the red curries and all that. So they require a very non-spicy food with continental breakfast option. Then they need a entertainment options in the evening. So you should select a hotel where the entertainment options are available. Plus nowadays they require a spa or a gym option also. Then what are the legal requirements? Because in some hotels there is a separate rate for foreign nationals. So if you book the hotel as a national traveler, then they will not allow you. The hotel receptionist will not allow that foreigners at the time of check-in. They will charge an extra charge from them because he is the foreigner. Then local and intercity transport arrangements. Then information to the commissioner of police about their residence and the purpose of visit. So this is applicable only when, if any foreign national is staying in India for more duration, let's say more than three to four months. So in that case, that foreign national is called as an expatriate. So in that case, you have to give the information to the local police office. What is the purpose of its credentials, etc. Then the requirement of a travel agent to be empaneled. So in this case, as a functional administration department, certain travel arrangements you can manage by your own, but certain things you need a expert help. So that is called service provider. So who is a service provider? A travel agent, official travel agent. Some companies, corporates are having only one official travel agent. Some may have 2-3. So depends company to company. So selecting a travel agent, what things you should take into account. First of all, that travel agent should be recognized by IATA. So IATA is nothing but an international body established in 1945, and it is headquartered in Canada. So the full form of IATA is International Air Transport Association. So it gives a license to issue the ticket for a travel agent, international ticket. So that is why the travel agent should have that IATA accreditation. Then the travel agent should have RTSA, that is the Railway Authority as a Rail Travel Service Agent approval from the Railway Authority. Why? If you want to book train tickets from that agent. Then that travel agent should operate from a prime location for easy access. Let's say your head office is situated in Nariman Point, Mumbai. So in that case, you will prefer a travel agent who is office in only in city area. In that case, there is no use of a travel agent who is situated in Thane or Borivali. Then next is well-equipped communication system. So he should use a up-to-date communication system. Their travel professional should be accessible on email or on mobile. Then up-to-date information system about flight and train schedules. They should have up-to-date information available for flight and train schedules. They should provide it with minimum layover time, minimum revert time. Then well-trained customer relationship manager. They should behave properly in a professional manner when any of your staff contacts them directly for any expert assistance. Then next, coming to the very important travel document. In fact, it is the first document required for any international journey. So that is called passport. So passport is nothing but a official travel document usually issued by a country's government. So that certifies the identity and nationality of that holder. So there, what normal passport includes. So normally it is issued on behalf of the higher authority of that particular country. So for example, in Indian passport, the higher authority which issues it is the President of India, but whose signature will be there? The regional passport officer. So on behalf of the President of India, regional passport officer issues you the passport. So what it includes? It includes the holder's name, place, date of birth, photograph, signature, his address, and any identification remarks. They have the remark option in the passport where you have to mention the identification peculiar traits. For example, mole on the finger, scar on the chin, etc. Why? Because any unfortunate incidents happen during traveling. So this type of remark helps the officials or the authorities to identify that passenger. So it is only in case of emergency. Then nowadays passports are also moving towards, they include the biometric information also. So making machine readable passports. So some countries have also adopted this. In India, still we are using the conventional passports only. Then coming to the another part, that is the second level of any international travel, that is called visa. So visa is nothing but a conditional authorization granted by a country to a non-citizen to enter and temporarily remain within that country. So if you want to go for a business meeting in Singapore and you are a Indian citizen, you, apart from the valid passport, you need a visa also. So some thinkers, they also make the full form of visa is as visitor's intention to stay abroad. So nowadays we call it in simply visa. So visas typically include limits on the duration of the non-citizen stay, territory within the country they may enter, the dates they may enter, or the number of permitted visits. So again it varies to country to country. For example, Singapore business visa, they give the duration, default duration is for 1 month only. Some countries they may give for 2 weeks. Some countries even they give you duration for 3 months, etc. Some countries they give the visa, business visa, only for the single entry. That means during the, let's say if you have single visa, entry visa for a particular country, then within that stipulated period you can use that visa for only one entry. Some countries they allow it for multi-entry visa. So means if you have particular nations multi-entry visa, that means during that period you can enter multiple times in that country. So what are the common visa process steps? So first of all, let's say you are going on the business trip to Singapore for 3 days. So what are the procedures will be required? A travel agent will advise the representative of the corporate or individual to initiate filing of application for visa by providing the following requisite document. So what is it included? It requires original passport, that is essential. Most of the countries they want the passport more than 6 months validity. So if your passport is having only expiring within 3 months, you have to renew it. You are not allowed to travel internationally. Then a set of at least color photographs in the required dimensions. Every country has different dimensions, different requirements for the photo. For some countries they need white background, some countries they want the photograph should be in the dark background, some countries they want the photograph only of the face, some countries they want a photo where only 3/4 of the face should be visible. So that is why you should ensure the correct up-to-date information before going for the photograph for visa. Then covering letter is required from the Indian company stating applicant's name, designation, duration and purpose of visit. That is your company based in India where you are doing the job. Then next is the invitation letter from the sponsor company stating applicant's name, passport number, designation and purpose of visit. So here in our example, purpose of visit will be for meeting purpose in Singapore. Then applicant's income tax returns for the last 3 years. This is very, very important. Without that you cannot submit the application. Then copies of applicant's bank statement for last 6 months. So here you should require to show the copy of bank statement for last 6 months. Why the embassy or consulate needs this type of statement? To show that you have that minimum capacity of spending. Then copies of applicant's international credit card or foreign exchange endorsement certifying that the visitor is traveling with sufficient funds. So that prove, it is a proof that you have sufficient fund. If you are staying 1 month in a particular country and you are just carrying only $50 with you, so obviously they will question you at the time of granting the visa, that how can you stay with just $50 for the 1 month duration. So that is why you need sufficient foreign exchange endorsement on your passport that okay, this person is carrying $1,000 during his trip, or you have valid copy of the international credit card so that you can avail the credit card facility when you are on the tour. Then confirm return ticket. So your ticket should be confirmed, it should not be waitlist. Your airline ticket should be confirmed. Why confirm? Because consulate or the embassies, they don't accept any waitlisted ticket. And another important point, whether a comparison of railways and air, in air if your seat is waitlist, they don't give you a waitlist number like the train. You have to call the airlines and you have to ask the status, then only you will come to know whether the waitlist is going to confirm or no. So you have to wait for the seat gets confirmed, then only you can apply for the visa. And you cannot apply visa with the one-way ticket. They need the return confirmed ticket only. So that they want guarantee that this passenger will not stay in their country. He will come back to their own country. So that is why return confirmed ticket is needed. So after scrutinizing the correctness of the documents, the travel agent forwards the application along with the set of relevant documents to the embassy that is situated in New Delhi or the consulate situated in Mumbai, Chennai, Calcutta as applicable and convenient. So here if you notice, we have used the word embassy for New Delhi and we have used the word consulate for Mumbai, Chennai and Calcutta. So both are doing the same job of doing the representation of the foreign country. Let's say here this case for Singapore visa, if we need, we process the visa in New Delhi, that center is called Embassy of Singapore in New Delhi. If we process in Mumbai, Chennai, Calcutta, it will be called as a Consulate of Singapore based in Mumbai. So the difference between embassy and consulate is those foreign representatives based in capital of any country is called embassy. And those foreign representatives, ambassadors, they are situated in other important cities other than the capital like Mumbai, Chennai, Calcutta are called consulate. So that is the only difference. So in Delhi, you will see all the type of embassies. They don't call it as a consulate. But here in Mumbai, Chennai, Calcutta, all the foreign representatives, if you see, they call themselves as a consulate general of UK, consulate general of Germany, etc. Then embassy or the consulate scrutinize and verifies the application and supporting documents, and if in order, it advises the travel agent or individual conveying their approval for the issue of the visa. Then for USA, they follow certain different procedure as compared to other countries. So getting in US visa of USA is a major task. So along with that regular document, they need some extra documents also. Plus they require a personal interview if you are traveling USA first time. Then one visit for the biometric verification. They take down your biometric details also. Then while collection of the visa, they issue a token with specified fee within a stipulated time. Sometimes US visa, they reject it also. Sometimes they ask for more document. So if your case is not strong, if your invitation letter is not proper or any document is missing, so they may reject it completely also. So once any visa is rejected by US consulate, then you cannot go for another visa of US within stipulated time. Sometimes they ask just some additional documents. So after receiving a document, they grant you visa. Sometimes they know, don't ask anything. If your case is strong, if you are going for any work of the Microsoft company, if the Microsoft is a sponsor and your company where you are a part of the employee is having proper reputation, then they will not ask you any further question. They will easily get you the US visa. Again, that is why it depends situation to situation. If you are a very well traveled person, then with very good bank balance, with good reputation, then they will not ask the question. They will straight away give the visa. But if you are first time traveler, you are not travel anywhere in abroad, your passport is completely blank and you are going for any first your visit to USA for any software project, they may cross question you whether you are not going to settle there and all that. They will check your family background, whether you are married, etc. And then only they will grant you a visa. Then issue of the flight tickets by the travel agent as per the itinerary. So once your visa is done, the travel agent will hand over the visa along with the passport with the particular flight ticket to the representative of the administration department or to directly to the passenger. Then apart from that visa and ticket, issue of currency, the possession of visa and tickets will entitle the passenger to approach the forex agent to get a foreign currency. Once the visa and the tickets the passenger will get in the hand, passenger will be entitled to get a official foreign currency. Nowadays, the agent also can arrange the foreign currency on behalf of the passenger, but he has to provide the documents such as passport and visa copy, and a ticket is also required. Then, travel agent guides the passenger in all the relevant aspects of the tour, places of visit, precautions, dress code, alerts, currency handling procedures, etc. So, travel agent ultimately guides the passenger what are the do's and don'ts when he is on the journey. So, this is all about yet another important topic in the functional administration, that is the itinerary management. So, thank you.